Welcome to Gambling with an Edge with your hosts, Bob Dancer and Richard Munchkin. Bob Dancer is America's premier video poker writer and teacher. He's written 10 books, including Video Poker for the Intelligent Beginner and the best-selling Million Dollar Video Poker. He helped develop the computer software Video Poker for Winners, and in 2004, he was inducted into the Video Poker Hall of Fame. Richard Munchkin has been a professional Advantage player for over 30 years and is in the Blackjack Hall of Fame. His book, Gambling Wizards, Conversations with the World's Greatest Gamblers, is a testament to the many ways you can succeed at gambling. The goal of the show is that you'll be a more knowledgeable gambler tomorrow than you were yesterday. And now, here are Bob and Richard.
Good evening. Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. I'm Bob Dancer.
And I'm Richard Munchkin.
Our guest tonight is the publisher of the Huntington Press and the Las Vegas Advisor, Anthony Curtis. Anthony's a frequent visitor to the show, and we found a useful format for his visits is a roundtable discussion of various gambling topics. Anthony Curtis, welcome back to Gambling with an Edge.
Thank you. Nice to be here. I'm not in the Hall of Fame of anything except, I think, Las Vegas rugby, I think. I forget.
Las Vegas rugby. Okay, well, you might be our, although Andy Block is the paper, scissors, rock world champion, so I don't know if rugby is quite, but we'll have you on anyway. It's okay. We received a suggestion addressed to gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com about the way I end the show. Sometimes I cut the guest off in mid-sentence because it's a live show and the producer holds up 10 fingers, meaning 10 seconds. Starting tonight, we're going to let Richard handle the closing. We both hope this sounds more professional. On the off chance I don't get to wish you a lot of royal flushes during his shtick at the end, let me get that in early. All right. We also received an email this week addressed to gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com. A player was wondering why video poker is a relevant gambling game in the United States, but is an afterthought in casinos at most foreign countries. Although I might be too nearsighted to see this clearly because I'm so involved, the best reason I can think of is that a literature of sorts has arisen here. Including myself, several authors through the years have written books on how to beat the game. Lenny Fromm, Dan Paymar, Frank Scalbetti, Stanford Wong, Gene Scott, many others. Our guest, Anthony Curtis, has addressed the subject as well. It's hard to know whether the authors arose because video poker was in the casinos or the video poker became popular because so many authors wrote about it, but whichever it was, it happened more in the United States than elsewhere. Without these how-to-do-it manuals, video poker is a pretty tough game. Having so many authors is good news and bad news for the players. It makes it much, much easier to learn how to play the game well, but casinos end up tightening the games as the player base becomes more knowledgeable. Anthony, why do you think there's more video poker in the United States casinos than other places?
Why is it important?
Oh, okay. I'll take that as an I don't know. Let's go on to the next subject.
No, I actually do have what I do think one thing. I would say I think you're right about the literature. I think absolutely, just like gambling, like blackjack books pushed blackjack so much the way they did. I think that the literature and the writings on video poker helped. But I would say two words: casino employees. You know, I remember when video poker was getting real hot. In the late 70s, early 80s, whatever it was, right around there, I was here. And it was all the casino employees were sitting and playing the games. And in a place like Vegas, where you got all these casinos together, and then other places, jurisdictions arose with lots of casinos in one place, I think we have more of that in the United States than we do in, outside of the United States. So you didn't have that effect in places like Australia or in Europe or anything else. And although it's a solitary game and people don't see social aspects to it, there really are. People hang out together and they talk and they, you know, have fun when somebody wins. And I think that had a big part to do with it.
Good, interesting point.
I think there must be cultural differences as well. I mean, if you look at Macau, you'll see hundreds of baccarat tables and almost no blackjack tables. So, you know, and if you go down to South America, you'll see hundreds of roulette wheels and, you know, far fewer blackjack tables. So I just think, you know, culturally different places have, you know, different games have become popular. And
all right. There's a Facebook application called MyVegas.com where you can play and earn free stuff at MGM properties. I've played it some and have some reward credits, but a lot of it is buy one, get one free, or cheaper rooms for a hotel room, which are basically useless to me. There are a few $30 off of restaurants things you can get, so eventually I'll get some of those, maybe. Richard, you have something to say about MyVegas.com, yes?
Yeah, you know, we've talked about it a couple of times, and, you know, for our low roller listeners, which, you know, we do have many who are interested in the comps, you know, there are, to me, the best comps on there are the Cirque du Soleil shows. You know, you can get tickets to O or Ka or, you know, Love or pretty much any of those shows. And there are buffet comps and things like that. But, you know, what people don't realize is that there is a way to get many, many, many more points if you know what you're doing. So I would just say for those listeners that are interested in that, one of the important things is that you play one of the games that allows you to bet exactly $1,000 per spin. Because if you play those games and bet $1,000 a spin, you earn 10 of those gold coins for every 6,000 spun. And some of the other games, it takes you 10,000 to get the same 10 gold coins. So that's number one. The other thing is you want to just friend every person that you possibly can. You want to, there's a limit on Facebook of 5,000 friends. So you just want to click on, ask as many people on there, you know, Facebook will recommend, you know, you may know this person, and just click on them all. And because once you have over a certain number of friends, you start getting huge, huge bonuses in the amount of chips that they give you every day. And what happens is you are asked if you want to send gifts to your friends, and every time one of them accepts one of your gifts, you get money as well. So, you know, once you get up over 500 friends, you won't run out of chips anymore. This is a problem, you know, in the beginning for many players is they don't have enough chips to play the game. And as you know, as soon as you start getting 500, 1,000 friends, that won't be a problem anymore. I would also say that Facebook doesn't like it if you just go down and click one friend after another. They'll pop up a thing that says, you know, you're supposed to know every one of these people outside of Facebook to ask them to be your friend. So you just you want to skip some of the people on there. And what I do is I only ask to friend people that I have more than 100 friends in common with, you know. And anyway, so those are some tips for the people who are interested in getting those comps on that MyVegas app.
Yeah, it's interesting. That's funny. Eh? They pop up and say you're too friendly for Facebook, right?
But, yeah, right. Yeah.
But I mean, you know, when MyVegas first came out and it was kind of hot. We looked into it, and we were going to make a big deal out of it in LVA. We were going to try to get into it and explain, you know, how to game the system and all. And then we heard real fast that they had tightened up in a lot of areas. So I said, "Oh well, let's give it a go." And I remember one day I assigned an employee. His only job all day long was to play MyVegas and spin. Well, this is a perfect example, just like probably just about every gambling game, that if you play it without knowledge, you're going to do worse. So we didn't know these sort of tricks that Richard just talked about. And we just played regular, or my employee played regular. At the end of the day, I asked him what he'd earned, and he said, "I think I've got half a popcorn." I mean, literally, I paid him for 8 hours to sit there and spin, and he won half a small popcorn at a movie theater or something. So, I just said it's not worth anything, but obviously it probably still is if you know what you're doing.
All right. Different subject. Atlantic City is going through a painful contraction this year. Casinos are closing. Thousands of jobs are being lost. The quickie explanation is there's an new casinos closer to where the Atlantic City's customers live. And these customers are staying closer to home rather than traveling all the way to Atlantic City. Casinos have also closed in Mississippi and elsewhere. Anthony, do the problems of other gambling locations in the United States affect Las Vegas one way or the other?
Las Vegas has its own problems. So, you know, back before the recession, I would say that Las Vegas movers and shakers were very sensitive to what was going on in other places. And, you know, there were different effects based on what was going on and where the place was. I think since the recession, there has been very little concern about anything but Las Vegas. A lot of the gambling jurisdictions are having the same problems. Atlantic City, you know, the big problem in Atlantic City was they just got cut off at the pass. You know, I mean, as soon as Pennsylvania opened up, you can look at the statistics and all the people that used to come to Atlantic City from parts, you know, where they had to go through Pennsylvania, they didn't have to go anymore. And that was just a killer for them. So I don't think it matters to Vegas, but I think if you look real close, I mean, what's going on elsewhere, but I think if you look real close at every situation, there's absolute reasons that you can pinpoint where those problems have, you know, spun from.
But Vegas is actually booming. There's a lot of new investment coming into Vegas, so which is a good sign. It's not happening elsewhere. All right, Anthony, what's new at the Las Vegas Advisor that our listeners should know about?
Well, I mean, every day there's something new. There's a new Bob Dancer column every Tuesday, right?
And oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, well, it's true. You know, it's either your column or it's the question of the day or it's today's news. But I'll tell you, to me, what's new is that the listeners might be interested in is we had for a while we tried to do something called LVA Sports, and we have a
go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. We have I thought you were going to interject. We have another, like a sister website that's called lvasports.com.
Uh-huh.
We had all kinds of grand plans for that. And then we realized that, you know, just like Richard was talking about Facebook having its rules. Well, you know, with a website, Google rules and whatever Google's rules are the things you have to follow. And we found that having these side websites, like you could have LVA Blackjack, LVA Sports, all these different things. Well, that wasn't a good way to go. You know, Google sort of penalizes you for doing things like that. So LVA Sports began to get built out, and then we just kind of stopped. You know, we should call it LVA Fontainebleau Sports or something, you know, because we just stopped in the middle, just like they did with the Fontainebleau on the Strip. But
that was an inside joke, folks.
Well, if you've ever been to Vegas on the Strip, you see the big blue building with nobody in it. That's it. But there are a couple of pretty good things on LVA Sports, and one of them is a lines feed. Anybody who's interested in odds, you can go there and click on the lines feed, and you can see what all the odds are, both offshore and in Vegas. Now, for probably about 2 months, there was a bug in the system, and that lines feed was very, very slow. Well, we fixed it yesterday. So anybody who wants to do it, go to lvasports.com. You can check out that lines feed. It's pretty good. The other thing we're going to do is, for the past 4 years, we've had our own sports betting message board, and it was a pay site. It was always a pay site, and it was kind of hefty. It was, you know, $24.99 or $25 a month. First we had Fezzik, then we had Frank B. These are all real experts in sports betting. The reason we charged the fee was to, you know, to make a profit, of course, and also to keep the bad guys out, keep the trolls out, keep the, you know, the spammers out, that sort of thing. It worked really, really well. But we have so much going on this year that with trying to upgrade our website and everything else that we're going to open. We don't want to charge for that site. We don't want to have to spend the time to make it worth the money. But still, a lot of the same people are going to come and post, and that's going to be open. So, you know, I think that's kind of, you go to lvasportsboards.com, and that will be open next week. Right now, it's still a pay board, and it'll be switched over next week.
Will there be a moderator to help keep out the trolls?
Yeah. We're going to definitely have a moderator assigned. We may go back to the pay. I got to tell you, I love the pay thing. I mean, I got roundly criticized on the internet for doing this. A lot of people, you know, mercenary and this and that. And I swore up and down that I would continue to do it as long as we had 10 people paying, because I just don't like the fighting. And I don't like, you know, people asking a question and someone coming out and saying, you're stupid. I really hate that. So there was none of that in our board. And it was very, very cool. If we can't keep it cool, you know, with a moderator and without pay, then this will be the only season we do it. But we are going to do it this season.
All right. at the Meadows Casino outside Pittsburgh, a roulette dealer was charged with helping players. Seems that he would aim the ball at a certain section of the wheel and tell players to bet the numbers in that section. Richard, what do you know about this?
Well, I just found this fascinating and in a way hilarious. You know, the first time I ever wrote to Blackjack Forum, Arnold Snyder had a periodical, a magazine called Blackjack Forum. And, you know, back in the early 80s, there was a very big discussion in the forum about the idea that dealers could aim the ball in roulette. And, you know, Steve Forte weighed in, and Steve Forte said, you know, this is just not possible. You know, so now I can see but one of the things that I said when I wrote in to the magazine was, definitely the dealers believe that it's possible. The dealers believe they can do it, whether, you know, they can or not. I'm actually a big believer that they can. And I should say that, you know, there's a whole roulette culture out there, like the blackjack world. There's a whole roulette world. And anybody who actually plays roulette with an edge or tries to play roulette with an edge, every single one of them that I know all believe that dealers can aim the ball in roulette. But so to me, it's interesting because a dealer could say that in an effort to get tips, even if he had no ability at all, right? Because if somebody wins some money, now he can take credit for it and hopefully get tips out of it that way. Just the way a blackjack dealer will say, oh, I'm going to shuffle them good this time for you so you win. You know, and now if you win, he hustles you for tips. But it doesn't mean he actually did anything when he shuffled the cards. So I just think that this is kind of a ludicrous case to try to prosecute this dealer. I mean, how do you prove that he could aim the ball? I don't know. But I find it interesting. Yeah. It'll be interesting when we have Bob Nersessian on to see his take on that case.
Yeah, I agree with that take completely. You know, that it's essentially toke hustling basic strategy is to try to take credit for anything that's good. And the only way to really do that, because you don't know the result, is to do it beforehand and say, I'm going to, you know, bet here and this is where it's going to go, or, you know, whatever. Go back to the thing about the guys that used to sell the tout sheets and at the racetrack. And this gets a little deeper, but, you know, there's seven horses in the race and they give out seven different horses to seven different customers. You know, it's that sort of thing.
Right, right.
You know, anything you can do.
Yeah, but it just like Wong with the, you know, saying he could control the dice. Well, you give him a test. You know, they went and had a test and had him throw and see if he could control the dice. I think, you know, you should do the same thing with a roulette dealer and see if he can actually do it.
Yeah, I think Richard feels much more than I do. And I never dealt a game, so I don't know. But I've known roulette dealers. And to me, there are just too many variables. And I'm a believer, obviously, in the physics of it, in prediction based on physics, what the guys used to do, strapping the computers to themselves and you know, triggering points where the ball was, so their calculations were made. I'm a big believer in that, but actually being able to target, I'm much more dubious about. And then there's something else that's related called dealer signature, where some people actually think that dealers can hit the same part without trying, without even knowing they're doing it, because they do everything the same. And I think that's just kind of a lot of rubbish.
Interesting on giving the guy the test. If this guy is in jail and he has to prove that he can't do it.
Yeah, right.
He has every incentive not to pass this test. So it goes the opposite way of most tests.
He'll probably call it every time, you know.
Then he just hits it five times in a row. Lifetime in prison. All right. New subject. Global Gaming Expo, G2E, is the gambling industry's biggest trade show. It comes to Las Vegas every fall. This year, September 30th to October 2nd. The keynote speaker on Tuesday is Steve Wynn. This is no surprise. He's a big casino innovator. He's been so for years, and he's a charming speaker. The keynote speaker on Thursday, however, is Sheldon Adelson, who is investing huge sums of money trying to destroy the online poker industry in this country. G2E keynote speakers usually celebrate gaming. Adelson, a billionaire, 81-year-old curmudgeon, is trying to shut down part of it. Of course, he does own the Sands Expo Center, which is where the convention is being held. Now, Anthony, are you as surprised by this as I am?
No. Based on what you just said, it doesn't surprise me at all. I mean, look, anything you say about Adelson, he is he's a big player, obviously. You know, maybe the biggest player in gambling right now. So he should be a part of anything, you know, especially when he owns the venue and anything that has to do with gambling, he should be allowed to say what his opinion is. Now, do I agree with that opinion? You know, absolutely not. I'll say, first of all, you know, you brave calling him a curmudgeon. You know, if he's listening, you don't want to be.
I haven't been welcome to play at the Venetian for a number of years. So I'm.
Are you saying he's litigious?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. He has been very, very active in taking on opponents of his way of thinking. But you know,
I think he'd consider that a compliment. But go ahead.
Yeah, but potentially so. You know, I've been on record saying about Adelson from the start that if he had been at the forefront of online gambling, he'd be all for it.
Oh, of course,
he's a businessman. He's a tremendous businessman, maybe the greatest businessman in the history of gambling. You know, look what he's done. He's a visionary when it comes to things like Macau and what he did and the Cotai Strip, which is like the Vegas Strip in Macau, and that was nothing but a swamp. And this guy saw it, and other people didn't see it, and it took Wynn a while to get in. I mean, this guy deserves his just due, but he wants to be the kingpin. He wants to be on top, and he's not on top when it comes to, you know, who's on top? The one in online gambling right now, the brand is WSOP. That's Caesars Entertainment, the one big company that didn't go to Macau, right? So, you know, Caesars put their bet there. That's where they are. If Adelson was there, he'd be supporting it too, in my opinion.
Yeah. You know, while we're on this topic, I want to so in California just this week, they said they are not going to address online poker in California this year, which is kind of a big blow. But I'm wondering if you have any thoughts about that Santa Isabel that basically just said, well, you know, we're an Indian tribe and it's class two poker is class two gaming. We're just going to open.
Yeah, it's interesting. I've been watching it. My feeling is they're just too small. You know, it's kind of like when you come back to the Vegas, the Nevada experiment. Really, the one who was at the forefront was South Point. You know, there's only three still legal companies online, and that's Caesars Entertainment, the World Series, Ultimate Poker, the Fertitta Brothers Station Casinos, and South Point. And South Point was actually first most of the way. They didn't open first, but they just kind of did everything first, and they were just too small. And I think that the reservation in California, I just don't think it can have that much impact. And what's going to happen legally? Well, that'll be interesting. It'll probably have, you know, set precedent for other things down the line.
But online poker in Nevada has not been exactly a failure, but it hasn't really been a rousing success either. What is your best guess on how internet gaming in Nevada and elsewhere is going to go?
Well, this is coming from the guy who said the high roller Ferris wheel was going to be really big. So, you know, take this with a grain of salt. But I still think it's going to be strong. I really do. I just don't think it's open in the right places yet. You know, the big players in this are going to be California, Pennsylvania, New York, Texas, you know, and
because of population base,
it's all population, and you know, the big banana is California, no doubt about it. I think when these things open up, and if there's cooperation, and they start making their own compacts, for lack of a better word, between states, their agreements, I think it's going to be really big. I still do. I'm kind of betting on it in my business. I'm doing things to position to be a part of it in some way. I'm putting my money where my mouth is on this one.
Well, part of the bet is Flop Turn River. So tell us about Flop Turn River.
Flop Turn River is just our next book. That's going to be our next book. We haven't done, you know, when we got into poker books with Blair Rodman's Kill Phil about, what, 6 years ago now? 6, 7 years ago. And since then, we've done some pretty good poker books, Kill Everyone, Razor's Edge. But our last big one was Decide to Play Great Poker by Annie Duke a couple years ago.
Yes.
And we took a couple years off from poker books just while we kind of waited to see what the landscape was. Well, we all the time we had this property called Flop Turn River, which is a workbook for No Limit Hold'em tournaments done by the same authors as the Kill guys. So Lee Nelson, Tyson Stribe, these guys. And we also brought in Joe Hashem for this one. So poker players will know Joe Hashem for sure. He is one of the main event winners back about a decade ago. So we got, again, the top-notch poker writers. This thing's about a week away from going to the printer, and we've got pretty high expectations for it. It's a good book.
It's going to be available in paperback and on ebooks and stuff.
Yeah, and you know the great thing for people who are into ebooks now, who have their Kindles and their Nooks and all this sort of thing, is that there's sort of a pricing restriction for us, for publishers, when it comes to pricing ebooks. Whereas, you know, if Flop Turn River, I think, is going to be a $35 book, and we would like to price it online at about $17-$18, but we get a much diminished share if we do that. So we've got to price it at to get as much as, well, we'll have to price it at $9.95. That's where it changes. The revenue split goes from 30-70 to 70-30 when you go over $9.95. So essentially,
Wow. Yeah,
it's really amazing. And there's nothing you can do about it because Amazon controls that. And, you know, mathematically, the only way you can do it is I think you have to charge $23 to make as much money as you would at $9.95. So the public really gets a fantastic break here. They can buy books that should be twice as much or even more for $9.95 because that's the threshold.
Interesting.
Isn't Bob Nersesian supposed to have a book coming out?
Yeah, well, that's going to be the next big one. And, you know, he did a book with Stanford Wong's publishing company, Pai Press. It was called Beat the Player, correct? I believe.
Yeah.
Yes.
But it was a kind of specific. And his new book, we are going to do, and it covers a gamut of things. It really covers a lot of things that he talks about here, but goes into, you know, on this radio show when he comes in, but it goes into much more depth and things that subjects that have never even been broached on this show. It's a really exciting book, but it's not imminent, really. It's probably about 6 months away. No title yet. We don't know what it's called.
Uh-huh. All right. We ought to have a name Nersesian's book contest, Richard. What do you think?
Yeah. Sounds good to me.
All right. Now, pigskin contest.
Gone.
A lot of casinos have them every year, but the Palms has cut back. What do you know about this?
All I know is that since 2005, the Palms has had one of the best football contests, and they called it the Pigskin Payoff. And a couple weeks ago, mid-July is when you start hearing about it, especially if you're a customer, you start getting mailers and things like that talking about the different casinos in their contests. So sure enough, the Super Contest is on again at the former LVH, which is now the Westgate. You know, sure enough, the Station Casinos, the biggest one. Sure enough, the Boyd Casinos, you know, and all this stuff is coming. But nothing's forthcoming from the Palms. And I was like, wow, really? Is the Palms not going to do it? So a couple days ago, I went over and stuck my nose in there and looked around and asked some questions. And sure enough, after going into their 10th year, they're not going to run it this year. And the reason that's bad, I mean, it's not bad, but there are guys who do real good in these contests. Because after all, it's just like tournament blackjack or anything else. A football tournament has a lot of skill to it. And how you play, given your position and various things and how lines have moved, there's quite a bit of skill. And I know several of my friends have won houses, you know, in the Station Casino and have won first prizes. Obviously, you know, Fezzik is a buddy of mine, two-time winner of the Hilton.
Yes.
You know, the Hilton Super Contest. And you don't do that by luck. You know, you got to be skillful. The guy who won the Hilton last year, we always call it the Hilton, so it's the Westgate now. But, I mean, he was some kind of a ridiculous quant, you know. I mean, he was from the world of equilibrium and game theory and everything else. And these are good players. Well, what made the Palms one very good was that it was a low buy-in, just $25, and it was an independent. The Palms was an independent contest. So you weren't competing. They used to put this in their ads, and it was valid that you weren't competing against, you know, people that were at 10 different casinos and so forth. So we lose an Indy, and that's not so good.
But nobody's heard why they decided not to?
I could just say that they're making a lot of changes at the Palms. They really are.
You'd be right there.
Yeah, and it's really hard to put a finger on exactly what their strategy is or what they want to do. To be honest, you know, since the Palms opened, one of the best coupons in the member rewards book for LVA has always been the $50 comp at the Palms. And I'm honestly wondering if, like, after all these years, if that will go as well. And I haven't had any discussions with anybody over there, and I know that that coupon really pulls for them, so I would hope we would continue on. But the changes there have been that sort of significant that I'm even concerned about that for our program.
Well, not the current year, but they used to have a double point or triple point coupon in the LVA as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's gone. And that that was, for big players, that was worth quite a bit more than $50.
Yeah. You know, I think the Palms, I don't know, it seems to me like the Palms has a little bit of an identity crisis right now. And I think they're not sure what they want to be and who they want to cater to. And I'm not saying that in a bad way. I mean, places change all the time. I don't have any problem with evolution. You know, if I had a nickel for every time somebody said to me, I like the old Vegas better than the new Vegas, you know, I'd have a lot of money. I don't feel that way. I like the new Vegas better every year than I liked it the year before, including when I first came to town, you know, in the late 70s. And I'm all for change. But, you know, it's going to affect different people different ways. Some people are going to go hooray with what they do, and some people are going to go crap. You know, they took away the pigskin payoff, you know, that sort of thing.
I have to say the one thing that I miss, and this isn't Las Vegas's fault, but I too like the new Vegas. But the one thing that I really miss about the old Vegas is, you know, 30 years ago you could win $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, walk up to the cage, cash it out, get cash, and no one would dream of asking you your name,
yeah,
let alone for an ID.
Yeah.
That is the one thing I really miss.
Well, you know, the biggest tournament I ever won was a dice tournament in Atlantic City.
Uh-huh.
And I won $125,000 was the first prize. And I went to the cage. And that was in it. There's a bunch of stories behind that one. I mean, it was really, there was a real problem between me and the people running it. They didn't like me and vice versa. And it was bad. And they just about puked when I won the thing. And I just, you know, I put it right in their face. I wasn't too smart. But I went to the cage and they go, how do you want your money? And I went, cash? And they said, sure. And they just gave me 125 cash.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Now I moved to Vegas 21 years ago. Now, the reason I liked it better then is because I was 21 years younger. I had a lot more fun in my late 40s than in my late 60s. But, oh, well. Now, the August LVA covers the November 9, including the opening betting lines. So, now, the lines are usually pretty well correlated with what the stacks are. How is that different this year?
Well, the way it works is, and the people who put up the lines are typically offshore, and they can do it in Vegas. It's legal, but they have to petition for it and be allowed, just the same way as they could put up lines on elections and things like that now, I think. Maybe not elections, but there are certain things that they can put up lines for that they couldn't before. The reason I don't know what it is because nobody ever does it. Nobody really cares. They don't get enough volume. But a couple years ago, they did put up lines on who was going to win the World Series when they were down to, especially when they were down to the final nine, the final table. Now it only goes up offshore, but a lot of places put it up offshore. And typically what they do is the odds are aligned with the chip stacks. So if you're the highest chip stack, then the odds on you are the shortest. You're the favorite. And if you've got the longest, you know, the lowest chip stack, then the odds on you are the longest. Every year, there's usually one person who has the betting public shows them respect.
Phil Ivey a couple of years ago.
Yes, Phil Ivey a couple of years ago was the biggest sort of out-of-step line with chip counts. Everybody was betting Phil Ivey. If Phil Ivey had $100 and everyone else had a million, they'd still be betting Phil Ivey. And, you know, that's just the way the public works. But Phil Ivey was big on that. A couple of years ago, Ben Lamb was another guy who was out of step. Last year, it was J.C. Tran. You know, these are all guys that are probably considered to be the best poker players. So you can figure out who's the best based on who's getting all the respect. This year, the main guy is a guy named Martin Jacobson, who is, let me find it here. What is the deal with him? I think he's something like seventh in the chip count. Or no, he's something like seventh in the chip count, and he's fourth in the betting line. So he's kind of a guy that the public is going for, or the bettors are betting on. The other guy is, Newhouse. This guy, Mark Newhouse, who, just amazing. This is his second year in a row in the November 9. To me, this is the greatest achievement in poker history. Easily better than Johnny Chan's back-to-back wins.
Well, Dan Harrington did it in the early 2000s when it was about this size.
But Dan, well, no, no. Dan did it when Dan Harrington did it.
It was definitely after Moneymaker.
Yeah, but he won with He won the first time. When he won it, I think there were like 1,200.
Okay.
And the next year he made the final nine, and I think there was something like 1,600. So this guy's done it against something like, 6,300 is that what it is? 6,300 and 6,800 or something like that.
In that range.
Yeah. And I don't think that there's ever been anything. I mean, take Fezzik's back-to-back win in the Hilton. I don't think there's ever been anybody who's achieved what this guy has actually achieved. So, rightfully so, he's getting more love on the betting line, too. He's being bet up above where his chip stack should put him. So it's basically the people there, the favorites on this are, in the public's eyes, are the favorite is the chip leader with 38 million. He's just, you know, he's well ahead of the field. Jared Van Hoof, I guess is his name, and then Mark Newhouse and Martin Jacobson. Those are the guys who are getting sort of the betting action.
Very good.
You forgot to mention the important thing, that one of the guys is a world champion foosball player.
Oh. Yeah, isn't that amazing? He's also got the longest name probably in history. His name is, now do I have to try this?
No, you can call him Billy Pappas.
His name is Billy Papakonstantinou, I guess, something like that.
As I said, Billy Pappas.
Yeah, well, I mean, the quick story on this is, I'll bore everybody with this, but I always fancied myself a pretty good foosball player. And when I came to Vegas, I could beat just about anybody I played in terms of people I knew in the gambling world. Then I met James Grosjean, and James Grosjean showed me what real foosball was. I mean, this guy is really close to world class, if not world class. Previn Mancotti, who's James's gambling buddy and also his foosball partner, is also better than me. But this guy, Billy Papakonstantinou or whatever, is something like a 12-time foosball world champion. And everyone goes, wait a minute, how can he be a 12-time world champion? He's only 29 years old, so he won every year since he was 17. That's singles and doubles combined. He's something like a 12-time foosball world champion. Pretty amazing.
So there's correlation between being world champion at anything and world champion at something else.
I think so. I would say yes.
And so I would think he would be getting more love on the betting line than he actually is.
Well, he's the short stack, so he's the lowest. He's the lowest on the
table.
But
he's not. He's like,
I thought he is.
There's he's the seventh short stack, or he's the seventh stack. There's maybe the sixth, but he's actually the seventh bet up. So they're actually degrading him. Although part of that is that Mark Newhouse has fewer chips and they upgraded Mark Newhouse.
Because they pushed Newhouse up above him.
So that might not be the same as downgrading Billy Pappas.
But I agree with you on that the fact that this guy is so good at one discipline and he decided he wanted to be good at something else. I mean, these people have certain skills, and you would say, well, how does foosball translate to poker? Well, probably not, obviously, but a lot of the attention that people are willing to put in, the practice, the drive, that certainly transfers.
All right. Rampart. Now, the Rampart is currently advertising that they have loose slots. Now, you're somehow involved in this, Anthony. Tell us about that.
Well, when you see the advertisements on the billboards or in the magazines or the newspaper that say, our slots do this, or our slots do that. And a lot of people look at that and go, I don't believe you, BS. Well, here's the funny thing, and that's a natural reaction. You would say, sure, of course you're going to say that. But the reality is, in Nevada, at least, and in most, you know, regulated jurisdictions, you can't say something that's not true. You know, you have to prove it to the Gaming Control Board. So when you see somebody make anything, probably the closest thing that really walked that line was George Maloof's Royal Flush Capital of the World.
Back
right?
with the old Fiesta, which is now called Fiesta Rancho.
Right. That was one of the most brilliant advertising campaigns ever. We are the Royal Flush Capital of the World. And so how do you really, how do you prove that? And a lot of people said, you know, that's a lot of BS and whatever. That's the only time that I can remember something like that getting through. Everything else, I mean, I'm certain it wasn't the Royal Flush Capital of the World, you know. I would guess that there were other places with many more royal flushes. I don't know.
I would
maybe
guess
not per person.
I would guess not. I would guess it had a legitimate claim on there. We can talk about that.
They probably did. Actually, now that you say it, that's probably how they did get it through. But every other thing that they say, you know, we're this percent looser than that, we're that percent looser than, you know, whatever, that has to be proven. And the way that gets done recently, in recent years, is some of these companies have come to me and asked me to do that analysis for them. And the Palms did it first and did it for a number of years. The El Cortez came to me and we did the same thing. And this year the Rampart came to me. I have to sign non-disclosures with all of these, so I can't give you exact numbers, but I can tell you that they actually open the books. They open their books up. They let me look at things that they would never let people outside of their group look at. I take a look at their numbers and go, holy smoke, you're right. You are really loose. And I write it up for Gaming Control.
But how do you know if they're looser than someplace down the street? You're not looking at everybody's books. You're
right.
Only looking at theirs.
And you can't do that. And that's a really great question. And you cannot, because there is no place that this is public information. And I can't get everybody else's. But what I can do is that there's public information in terms of areas of Las Vegas. So they will group the strip casinos and they will, by they, I mean Gaming Control, will release those revenue figures every month. They will group all the downtown hotels, casinos. They will group Boulder Highway. They will group North Las Vegas, that sort of thing. So what I can do is take a look at Rampart's numbers and say Rampart is this percentage looser than the strip. Rampart is this percent looser than downtown. Rampart is this much percent looser than the balance of county, which is their competition. Places like South Coast.
South Point. They happen to be a sponsor. Be careful there.
Well, that's what makes it really impressive, because we all know, based on looking at South Point's video poker inventory, that they are very, very loose.
Yes.
And they are involved in that. And putting the aggregate of all the others together, and Rampart is in that as well, but taking Rampart alone, Rampart is a significant amount looser than them. So
significant.
20%.
You've looked at the South Point figures?
No. I'm looser than South Point, looser than balance of county.
Yes.
With everything put together. This is absolute. This is, you know, this
I'm not
is
arguing
apples
that.
To apples.
Part of it has to do, for example, with how many penny slots they have. The penny slots typically have somewhere between an 8 to 10 to 12% hold, and like dollar slots might have a 3, 4, or 5% hold. So a casino with a relatively low proportion of penny slots is going to have a much higher aggregate than a place with more, with a higher percentage of penny slots. So one casino with an overall aggregate of looser may be more reflection of what the percentage of penny slots is compared to rather than...
Yeah. Well, there's two very important points here. One is you cannot in any way, unless I've seen both books open, there's no way I could possibly say that Rampart's looser than anybody, any other particular one. I could compare Rampart and El Cortez and Palms, but I can't because I signed a non-disclosure.
And when you did Palms, that's not Palms today. And when you did El Cortez, that's not El Cortez today.
That's correct. But what I'm saying is there are two very important things here. One is you cannot compare Rampart to another casino like South Point, sponsor or not. You cannot. South Point may very much be looser. I don't know. The other thing is the customer cannot deduce from this that they can go to a Rampart and win money. It only means looser does not mean necessarily that they can indiscriminately play anything there and win. It only means that over time they will have a better result, typically.
Yeah, we had one time on the show, Shaq told a story. To me, the interesting part about this is if they put a sign up that says X, it has to be true. And Shaq, I know, I think it was down at the Las Vegas Club, but it was somewhere downtown where they had a sign up that said something that he knew to be false, and he called the gaming gaming control about it, and I don't remember what the upshot was, but
I guarantee you they'd step in. They definitely did. They are very particular about this, and I know because they've come back to me with comments about my analysis, and they need to have, you know, things explained. Where did you get this? How did you do that? And they care. They really care, and they watch out. So I know. I think it's valuable for most customers to know. Now, most of the listeners to this program, what are they going to do? They're going to do their own analysis, right? They're going to take quantifiable games. They're going to take video poker or video keno or progressives or whatever it may be, and they're going to choose individually what they play. So this is not that important to them. But to the public at large, I think this is it's important information.
All right. I actually wish you hadn't have said that last sentence. I was planning to bring that up after we did the commercials and then we talked to the end. Now I have to figure out something else to talk about.
But just anyway, repeat it. That's all right.
We're going to do the South. We're going to do the commercials, and I'll figure out something. Richard, think hard. All right. The South Point has more than 10,000 games, returning more than 99%. That's more than anybody else has. In August, every Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, between 3 a.m. and 11 p.m., you earn 200 points and spin the wheel in their $400,000 swipe, spin, and win giveaway. Prizes include up to $50 in free play, free breakfast buffet. The booby prize is 2,500 points, and there's actually another booby prize this year, which is a two-for-one lunch buffet. And if you get a lot of food comps at other casinos, a two-for-one lunch buffet is essentially worthless. One of the possible prizes is a mystery gift. This is basically a recycled giveaway item that they still have a quantity of. You always have a choice of two or three items to choose among, and if you don't like the selection, you can try again tomorrow when the selection is better. You have to pick up your prizes by the end of August or they evaporate. In earlier times they did this, it was a weighted average, meaning that if you got their top mailer, most of the time you'd get a $50 in free play. And if you just got a card, most of the time you would get 2,500 points. And this year they've changed systems, and now it is totally random. So whether you got a new card or you have played a lot, you have the same chances at all of the prizes. They're also giving away $600,000 to penny slot players this month. You're playing the machines, and periodically your machine beeps and you get some free play. Now these are random awards that you collect at the machine. There are a number of must hit by progressives throughout the casinos. These are definitely playable with an edge when the progressives are high enough. This promotion makes those games extra good to play because there's a good chance that you'll collect some of the bonus money on your way to collecting the jackpot on these machines. We'll be starting up video poker classes September 10th, which is Wednesdays. They'll go for 10 weeks. We'll talk about more about those classes as we get closer. At the Palms, tomorrow night is the first of the August drawings. 10 winners share $10,000 each Friday. You earn 5 times entries Friday and Saturday evenings, 8 to midnight, and 2 times entries Sundays and Tuesdays all day. You do not have to be present at the drawing to win, but you need to claim your prize before midnight or you forfeit. Any player who enters a Friday drawing receives $10 in free play the next day. PFP, play for points, Monday through Friday for the first 2 weeks, of which tomorrow's the end of the first week. The main prize is CVS gift cards. The last 2 weeks will be Albertson Market gift cards. These prices are, it's about 0.25% for video poker players, 2% for slots. You do keep your points. There's free prizes given away on Thursdays if you earn a small number of points. Earlier, we announced free video poker classes in Palms in August. Unfortunately, they were canceled. VideoPoker.com remains the best place to practice a very wide variety of games, including Quick Quads, Ultimate X, Extra Draw Frenzy Poker, Hyper Bonus, many others. Often these games are the best returning games in a casino, and you need to practice on them on videopoker.com to make sure you know how to play. In addition to the weekly and monthly contests, they now have resumed daily contests. Today's contest is Deal Draw Poker. Now, it's only going to last for a couple more hours, but this is a good time to talk about what Deal Draw Poker is for those of you who don't know. This is an improvement on the game that used to be called Double Pay, where you receive money on the draw and also on the deal. The draw portion is strictly luck, and the return is always slightly better than the base game played perfectly. That is, if you're playing 9-7 double bonus deal draw, the regular 9-7 double is 99.1 if you play it perfectly. The part on the deal is going to be worth about 99.3, and the machine always plays that perfectly. So it is a, you do not have to change strategy. So if you find the same game in a deal draw that you find in a regular game, the deal draw is a better game to play. All right. Our guest in 2 weeks, we actually have one of the top sports. Yes, Richard, are you going to buy?
Basketball bettors.
Basketball bettors.
One of the top basketball bettors in the United States.
So he's going to be talking to us about betting on basketball and betting on certain other sports. And so periodically we have Fezzik on the show. This is a guy with similar success, although apparently I think he bets quite a bit bigger than Fezzik does. All right.
Yeah. Yep. So I wanted to ask Anthony about that bar that he had done with Bar Rescue and whether that has continued to succeed or whether it went back down.
And you have 45 seconds to answer that before I cut you off and let Richard finish the show.
So now I have 35 seconds. Okay. It was sold to some new owners who ripped out all the machines. Is that they're gone. There is no video poker at Bar 702. It's gone back to its name of Sand Dollar. They play blues music. You cannot get a free beer for playing video poker. I don't go in there anymore.
That just doesn't make any sense at all to me that you would take machines out of a bar. Or did they replace them with slot machines?
No, there is no gambling there any longer.
That just seems crazy to
me. It's wild. We shall see.
Yeah.
We shall see. So it was a rescue for naught.
Yes, it was.
All right, Richard, take us on home.
Okay. Well, we still have a full minute, so if you have anything else, you can interject it before I start. But if not, okay. So we really welcome your questions. You can reach us at gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com. And more importantly, if you'd go to facebook.com/gamblingwithanedge, like us on Facebook, you'll often find out who the guest is for the upcoming week, which may spur you to ask us questions. If you don't want to miss a show, you should sign up to have the show delivered to you while you sleep. You can sign up and get them delivered at iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, or at richardmunchkin.com, or you can see an archive of all the old shows at bobdancer.com. That's it for us tonight. Good night, everybody.
Go out and hit lots of royal flushes. I just still had time to say that. Good night.
You've been listening to Gambling with an Edge with your hosts, Bob Dancer and Richard Munchkin. Subscribe to the show in iTunes, and episodes will be delivered to you automatically every week. Archived versions of past shows may be found at bobdancer.com. and richardmunchkin.com. We welcome emails at gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com. Bob Dancer and Richard Munchkin are both available on Facebook and welcome your questions. The sponsors for the show are the South Point Hotel, Casino, and Spa, the M Resort, the Palms Casino Resort, and the website videopoker.com. Join us again next week for another Gambling with an Edge.